Welcome to the Fidelity Bank PLC nine-month 2018 results conference call. There will be a question and answer session at the end of the call. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this conference call. My name is Nnamdi Okonkwo, the CEO of Fidelity Bank. I have my executive team members with me on this call today. I have Nneka Onyeali-Ikpe, Executive Director, South. I have Chijioke Ugochukwu, Executive Director, Shared Services and Products. I have Victor Abejegah, CFO. I have Bola Joshua, Chief Operations and Information Officer, and a couple of other senior people here. Welcome. I'll just take the opening quickly. Our nine-month performance showed significant growth in deposits, earning assets, and net revenues, while we're able to moderate the growth in operating expenses below headline inflation. We closed this period with a PBT of 20.1 billion. This represents a remarkable growth of 24% if you compare that to the same period of last year. In absolute numbers, our PBT grew by over 3.8 billion on the back of, one, 6.9 billion growth in operating income, and that was higher than the 3.1 billion growth in operating expenses. This translated to a cost income ratio of 68.4%. That means that with a PBT of 20.1 billion, we're very close to achieving our 2018 guidance of 25 billion PBT. Also, we had guided for 12.5% ROE. As at this period under consideration, we're at 13.9%. As a matter of information, we had to reclassify 7.2 billion naira from our non-interest income in this reporting period to interest and similar income after a review of the underlying transactional income with our auditors. Out of the 7.2 billion, 3.8 billion was credit-related fees, including management fees and processing fees. NIM has remained within our guidance of 6.7%, with a decline in both yields and funding costs. Our average yield on earnings asset was 13.8%, compared to an average funding cost of 6.2%. Of course, you recall that we had earlier guided that our PBT numbers this year will be driven by double-digit growth in our earning assets, which will be funded by a corresponding double-digit growth in deposits. On impairments, total impairment on loans declined by 55%, and our cost of risk also declined to 0.5% from 1.5% in 2017 financial year end due to impairment charges of over 28 billion, which we passed through equity upon adoption of the IFRS 9 reporting standard. Okay, this reduced impairment charges in the telecoms and downstream sectors. You would also recall I mentioned this impact when we had our half-year conference call. On NPL, the ratio declined to 6% from 6.4% in 2017 year end, largely due to 11.6% increase in gross loan book. We witnessed reductions in absolute NPL numbers across some key sectors, which include energy, of course, on the back of improving oil prices, et cetera, construction and general commerce. However, our absolute NPL numbers increased by 2.8 billion naira, led by two sectors, mainly manufacturing and transport. Risk assets grew by 8% to 830.4 billion, with four sectors representing 70% of this growth. The sectors are manufacturing, oil and gas, transport, and public sector. That's loans to government. Total deposits increased by 27.3% to 987 billion. This is an absolute growth of 202 billion compared to our December 2017 position. So that means that in 9 months, we've grown deposits by 212 billion. We recorded strong double-digit growth on all the deposit products, demand, savings, time, 200 basis points drop in funding costs, which dropped from 7.2% to 6.2%. We are pleased that our retail banking strategy continues to deliver impressive results that we had strategized for. Savings deposits increased by 12.9% to 202 billion naira. And that's the first time our savings deposits as a bank will touch the 200 billion mark. Now, low-cost deposits account for 74% of our total deposits. In absolute number, low-cost deposits increased by 22% to 727 billion. Like I said, digital banking traction continues, with over 40% of our customers now are enrolled on our mobile stroke internet banking products, and over 80% of our total transactions are now done on digital platforms. For regulatory ratios, we remain above the required threshold. Capital adequacy ratio came in at 17%, and liquidity ratio closed at 38.3% for the reporting period. Now, I'll quickly give you some corporate updates before I round up this section of the presentation. Since the last conference call, we've had a slight change on our board. One of our non-executive directors, Mr. Robert Nanakalu, who has completed his period in the board, retired as non-executive director with effect from September 4, 2018. Now, he's already been replaced by Chidi Bertram Ababu, who was appointed as non-executive director with effect from September 4, 2018. The Central Bank of Nigeria has already approved this appointment and reported same to Stock Exchange accordingly. So this means that we now have seven non-executive directors and five executive directors. So on that note, I would hand you over to my colleague, Bola Hon, who will take us through detailed presentation, and then we take questions thereafter. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Nnamdi. I'll just go straight to slide 4. It just shows an overview of the bank. Not a lot has changed from H1. Total assets about 1.7 trillion, 2,920 staff, 56% are male and 44% are female, 240 branches, and then you see our distribution channel, 4.4 million accounts, 1.8 million mobile customers. And then we have 12 board members, 7 non-execs, 5 execs, and a 9-man executive management team. If you go to slide 5, it just shows the traction we've made from a retail and digital banking perspective. Customer base is now 4.4 million. Savings deposits are above 200 billion, 202 billion. That's roughly a 13% growth. That's the fifth consecutive year we're having a double-digit growth in savings deposits. So savings deposits have moved from less than 100 billion as at the end of 2014, and we have already doubled that. If you look at digital banking penetration, from 2015 to date, we've moved from less than 300,000 customers to 1.8 million, and cards has moved from about 937,000 to over 2 million. If we go to slide 7, which just speaks on the macro, there's some political risk which is impacting on the capital and money market, slower GDP growth, currency has been stable, monetary policy rates have not been changed, but seems like there's a general increase in the probability of having a rate hike. If we go to slide 9, which just gives the performance highlights, Nnamdi has spoken to most of these. The FCY loans are now at 42.5% of total loans, capital adequacy at 17%, and then liquidity ratio at 38%. If we go to slide 10, which just explains what the key drivers of profitability were. For this period, it was driven mainly from the growth in interest income. I recall we had always said that for this year, we're planning that profitability will be driven more by fund-based income. So with earning assets expanding by almost 20% on the back of the 27% growth in deposits, interest income improved to 120 billion, and that was the key driver of the earnings growth. Expenses were up by over 6%. Key drivers were technology costs, depreciation, which was more related to technology items, and then the increase in AMCON charges. Our NIM is still at 6.7%. It's within our guidance of 6.5-7% for the year. Deposit growth has been very strong, above 27%, about 212 billion across all the products. Risk assets have gone to 830 billion with a lower cost of risk, obviously also aided by the amount of impairments with true equity on the adoption of IFRS 9. Slide 11 just shows a comparative of the 9 months figures for 2017 and for 2018. And if you look at the key highlights, gross earnings are up about 7%, and then net interest income was up about 8%. Fee income was slightly down, 1.5 billion, but about 8.7%. And then impairments are down, and profitability is up 24%. If we go to slide 12, which shows the quarter-on-quarter breakdown, the Q2 numbers have been recasted to reflect the reclassification from the fee income line. So you see interest income on loans has been constant at roughly about 30 billion average over the period. Fee income dropped slightly from 6.3 billion to about 5.5 billion, and then operating income also dipped by about 1.8 billion. But so profit was 5 billion, 8 billion, and now 7 billion. We expect it to taper down slightly in the last quarter, but still within 25 billion mark. If you look at slide 13, which just shows the balance sheet, you see strong growth on most of the indices. Demand deposits are up 26%, savings 13%, time deposits about 46%. So there's been strong growth from a deposit perspective, a strong growth from the liquid assets perspective, and strong growth on the loan book. If you go to slide 14, which just shows a breakdown of the gross earnings, you see the key drivers of, just like I explained earlier, interest income on loans, interest income on liquid assets, both of them really riding on the expanded asset base for those two numbers. If you go to slide 15, which just shows a trend of net interest margin, from 2017, it's dropped from 7.3% to 6.7%. Primarily, there's been a reduction in the yield on earning assets as a lower interest rate environment, but we've also been able to bring down funding costs by about 100 basis points. If you go to slide 16, which just shows the movement in OPEX, so you see where most of the growth is coming from, technology costs, depreciation, and then AMCON charges. There's been some level of reduction in the branding cost, and then also some slight reduction in some other OPEX lines. Slide 17 just shows a breakdown of OPEX. The average for 2017 financial year, if you annualize, if you take it over 9 months, and then 9 months for this period compared to 9 months for 2018. So expenses are up by 3 billion, which is about 6.5%. By the end of the financial year, we don't expect it to, on a full year basis, to be higher than this in terms of the growth in OPEX. Slide 19 is just an analysis of the funding base. If you look at most of it, on a 9 month basis, all the deposit products have grown by over 20%. And then if you look at it on a year-to-date basis, the slowest growth was from savings, but that was still strong at 13%. If we go to slide 20, which just shows the deposit analysis, we've spoken a lot about this. Pre-TSA, the deposit numbers used to be about 805, 820 billion. Now we're inching more towards the 1 trillion mark. But we will not grow for the sake of growth. We'll grow in a very disciplined and cost-efficient manner. Slide 21 shows the traction from a retail banking perspective. So total retail banking deposits is 285 billion, and we're just talking of low-cost deposits here. So it's about 40% of our total low-cost deposits. From an asset perspective, the asset growth is still slightly slow. We expect to gain more traction on some of the new mobile lending products, and then our savings book is now at 20% of the total deposit base. The liquid assets on slide 22, you just see the distribution. We're not overtly concentrated in any of the asset classes. So placements about 5.3%, treasury bills about 9% of total assets, and then bonds about 6%. Slide 23 just shows a breakdown of the loan book. So the gross loan book is actually up 11.6%, and then when you factor in the increased impairments we've had to take on the adoption of IFRS 9, it brings the net loan growth to 8%. You look at the main sectors driving the loan growth, and Nnamdi had spoken of them: oil and gas, manufacturing, transport, and government. That's explained on slide 25. And then slide 26 just shows a breakdown of the NPL. Three key pressure points for the period were manufacturing, which grew by about 1.6 billion, and then the transport sector by about 2 billion. But we saw a reduction in a lot of the other sectors, the downstream sector, general commerce, consumer loans, construction segment, education, and finance and insurance. So slide 27 just shows the key pressure points. Hasn't changed basically from H1. And then slide 28 just shows the trend of the NPL. So even though the absolute NPL numbers are slightly up, NPL ratio is down to 6%. Our guidance was 6 to 6.5%, basically due to the growth in the loan book. Coverage ratio is above 100%. It's about 109.9%. Capital adequacy is still at 17%, despite the impairment with the adjustment we still take for exceeding single obligor on a particular exposure. And then slide 30 just shows the contribution of the business segment from a revenue, from a profitability deposit and risk asset perspective. And so it's a slightly balanced contribution along the geographies and the segments. Slide 32, which is the last slide, just looks at our guidance. We have 9 indices. We're on track on all the indices, and so we believe that by the end of the year, we should be able to meet the numbers we've set for ourselves. Thank you. I will now take questions.
Thank you. We will now open the line for questions. To ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad. That's 0 to ask a question and 7 to cancel your question request. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad or 7 to cancel your question request. Thank you. Your first question is from Tolu Alamotu. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for hosting the call. I just have 3 questions, please. The first is regarding your restatement. Could you maybe tell us a bit more about why that's come up now rather than when your results were audited in the first half? And also, has that affected some of the figures in your cash flow statements? Secondly, on growth, you're still growing your loan book, even though I think as a sector we've seen year to date, I think one of your competitors was saying that gross loans for the sector are down something like 700 billion naira. I just wanted to know what is the differentiating factor for Fidelity and why you're confident to be growing your loan book when most other banks are not. And finally, I think in the presentation you mentioned that you'll be moving to NYFEX at the end of the year. Could you maybe tell us what impact that might have on your capital ratios, especially given the single obligor related charge that you currently take? Thank you.
Thank you, Tolu. Reinstatement and why it came up now and not when the audited numbers were done. So After the last call, you recall there are quite some questions around the fee income and the jump in the fee income. And so we reviewed the underlying transactions again with the external auditors, and they took the view that it could actually look more like interest income as opposed to fee-based income. So they took the view of doing that reinstatement. Did it affect some of the figures in the cash flow? Yes, it did. Loan growth. How are you confident growing the loan book? I think it depends on your strategy for different sectors. We're not growing the loan book across every sector. We're growing across some select sectors, and I think we had actually mentioned some of those sectors at the beginning of the financial year. But I think you shouldn't look at the loan growth for Fidelity in isolation. You should actually also look at our deposit growth compared to how the deposit book of the sector as a whole has grown. So we've not only grown the loan book, we've also grown the deposit book. So it's all about what differentiating strategies you want to use and how you understand the risk profile of each of those sectors. Using NYFEX at the end of the year, what impact will it have on capital? We're net long from an asset from a dollar perspective, so we will have an accretion to income. That will also be offset by some of the additional impairments we will take because of the adjustment. So net-net, we don't expect it to affect capital by more than 0.5%, 50 basis points by the end of the financial year. That's post-capitalization of the H2 profits. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Tunde Abidoye. Please go ahead.
Hello. Just one question from me. You restated your numbers, like you said. If we look at the non-interest income, following the restatement, it was down compared with our Q2. Should we see this as a normalized rate going forward? Thank you.
Thank you, Tunde. So if we look at net interest income, it was down compared to Q2. We should look at this as a more normalized rate going forward. We agree with that. But you also agree with me that transactional activities will continue to grow. So when we look at numbers, we think that's a more reflective trend, which is roughly about 5.5 and 6 billion on a quarterly basis on a fee income trend. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad or 7 to cancel your question request. Thank you. Your next question is from Toyosi Oni. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. So I have a few questions for you. The first question is, what exchange rate was used to convert the foreign currency portion of the balance sheet? The second question is that loans to the services segment of oil and gas is up by about 68% year to date. What is driving this growth? Who are you lending to in this segment? My next question is what your net long position is. What percentage of this is in foreign currency? What percentage of your NPLs are in foreign currency? And what's the coverage ratio on these NPLs? And have any other additional provisions been made on Nine Mobile beyond the 50% loan through equity? Thank you.
Thank you, Toyosi. 335 was used to convert. If you recall, last year, Q3, we said we're going to start using the average of the INE window rate and the CBN rate for the conversion. So we used 335, and then we moved to NYFEX by December. That's a year after, 1 year after. Loans to the services sector is up. It was actually in the dailies at a point in time, so I wouldn't want to mention customers' names here, but there were 1, 2, 3 large contracts we did with some customers who have significant contractors with the IOCs, and it was quite well publicized, the transaction. So some of the sectors and customers we're lending to are not actually a secret, but I want to mention the customers' names on the call. 15% of our NPLs are in the FCY. In terms of Nine Mobile, no, we've not made any additional provision apart from the 50% we have taken. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad. Thank you. Your next question is from Toyo Sioni. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to follow up on one of my previous questions. So what is the coverage ratio on the foreign currency NPLs? And if you were to move to the NYFEX rate, what additional provisions would you have to take to essentially make sure that the coverage is sufficient?
Okay, so on an NPL book of above 50 billion, 15% of that is about 7.5 billion. Now, the coverage ratio is about 75-80%. So in terms of additional NPLs, you'll be looking at a maximum of about 1.5 billion. That's from an NPL impairment perspective. Now, recall I also spoke about the fact that from a net long position, we are net long from a dollar position. So we'll also get some revenues coming to us from that increase in that revaluation rate, which we feel will offset whatever provisions we'll have to take both from the FCY NPLs on that book. So net-net, we don't see it being something that affects our profitability negatively for the period. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad. Thank you. There are currently no questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for participating in this call. Again, we are confident that we would remain with our guidance for year-end. So we're still staying with our guidance, and we look forward to delivering those numbers, and we'll be pleased to speak to you in the new year. Thank you.
That concludes today's call. Thank you.